podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome to another episode of We'll Talk About That Later, a podcast about football. I said another episode. I don't really know what the number is. 95, maybe?
No, I think you're a bit I think you're a bit off there. 97 potentially.
97
but
already.
We're in the '90s.
That went quick.
I think I could be wrong. I don't even know, but we're approaching 2 year anniversary, or we're past it.
It is 95.
It's this month. Oh, it's 95.
It is 95.
See, I was just testing Junior.
We were all testing.
The 97 shout was just, you know, see what's going on.
Yeah, just to see if I'm awake in it. But no, it is this month, 2 years that we are a podcast. So congrats, guys. Congrats.
Woo!
Let's do the round of applause, which is, no, that's the laugh. This is the round of applause.
Love that. Well, for the people who are thinking, why has he pressed the wrong button? Because we got new equipment, and
yeah,
he doesn't know which button's what at the moment.
We upgraded.
Yeah, this is all a learning curve. I have no idea what's going on, but we'll roll with it, basically. How are you guys?
I mean, I've been better, to be honest.
Okay.
We're going to get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But how are you generally?
Genuinely, I'm good, actually. I mean, I'm absolutely knackered. 2 nights out in a row.
Ah, jeez, okay.
Right. Friday, went out with the girls, Shoreditch. You know, that's always a wild one. Then I had a red carpet themed party.
Ooh.
Right, times on the red
work,
carpet,
you
yeah.
guys know. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
It was a good event. I saw a couple of people from work.
Okay. Red carpet though.
Red carpet. Had to dress up and everything. Mad.
Oh,
it was good.
Oh, that's what.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. If you follow Tanya, you know.
Yeah.
Which brings me to a good point. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. That's at WTATL official. And subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Spotify and anywhere else that there are podcasts. Mark, how are you?
Marcus.
He looks shook.
I thought you were saying, like, go on, bring us forward in the agenda. I'm thinking, bro, what agenda?
Just how are you?
No, I'm good. I had a week off last week, so my Ooh. Energy levels are a bit, you know, they're a bit better than they usually
Renewed.
Are. Renewed. Mm-hmm. Obviously back at work this week, but we don't let work stop the podcast grind, so we're here. Mm-hmm. We've got a fair bit to talk about. Obviously, the season is a couple of weeks away from kicking off, or a week and a half, actually, because Arsenal are Friday night.
Yeah, Friday.
Arsenal-Brentford. You home or away?
That's a good question.
Good question.
Brentford.
So the season kicks off in a week
away,
and a half.
To be fair, I think it's away.
This week, if you listened to us last week, we had a bit of a freestyle episode.
Mm-hmm.
Same again this week. And then next week, we're coming at you with a season preview.
Yep.
Yeah.
Perfect timing.
It is away, just to confirm. We'll be at Brentford's new stadium. I don't even know what it's called, but...
But Abdi can't be with us today, but...
Oh, wait, yeah. Abdi cannot be with us today. He is on a hot date with Danielle.
Big up, Danielle.
Now, he didn't want us...
Okay. You know, I'm just going to put it out there. He's coming for you.
Yeah, he's coming for
you. He's fully coming for you.
Now, listen, he didn't want us to tell the people.
Oh, okay.
So, if you are a friend or if you follow Abdi... Go into his DMs right now or message him and just ask him how his hot date with Danielle went.
No, we'll hear all about it next week.
Yeah, no, but I want the people to interact with Abdi.
Oh, yeah, that would be brilliant. I'm sure he'll love it.
All right. Without further ado, let's get straight into the action. Let's start with the hot topic of the moment. Mr. Doesn't Want to Turn Up for Work,
mm-hmm.
Harry Kane.
Yeah, mad, isn't it? Absolutely mad. Do you know what? When it all broke, I can't lie to you, I was actually gutted because I did not expect that from Harry Kane. How many times have I said Harry Kane's not the type of person that will down tools, not turn up for training? I thought that's not in his character to do that. But when I heard the news, I was like, wow, like this is actually mad for you not to turn up to training. I can't lie, I'm angry about it because I don't care who you are. You're still contracted to Tottenham Hotspur. You should still respect the fans. You should still respect the club. And you should do that by turning up to training.
What do you make of the people who kind of give him leeway because of the air quote, gentleman agreement, gentleman's agreement he has with Levy.
That's the thing, like, I can understand his side as well, don't get me wrong. Like, Harry Kane, he did sign that contract thinking the club was going in the right direction. And I think he was given a lot of false promises by Daniel Levy. My personal view, I think Kane wanted to leave from Champions League final. That's just me being
really?
Honest. Yeah, I genuinely think he
so
was
why
done.
Would he, why would he sign a new contract?
Because, again, he was given false promises. We signed Jose Mourinho, so he thought, okay, we've got a serial winner in now. This is it, kind of thing. And he maybe thought that Levy was going to sign top players. Obviously, we didn't end up doing that. But the flip side of that is Kane has had opportunities to win trophies as well. And I know the Champions League final, we can't really count that. And maybe the League Cup final just gone. He was fresh from injury. But he has had opportunities. So
what are the... So you're talking about the league and what else specifically?
What do you mean?
Like, obviously, like... Was it 2017?
No. I saw something earlier. You raise a really good point. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be able to name you when... Exactly when each of these were, you know, you've got the Champions League final and the League Cup final that you mentioned.
But the league in 2017.
And the league and when he put the picture of the Lions up and came third, which was a bit mad. but, sorry, didn't mean to dig there. That one just flew out. So I saw something earlier. I saw a graphic earlier. He's played in four cup finals for Tottenham. 0 goals, 0 assists.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Does it annoy you that... now, because I'm the same as Junior, you know, we're just outside looking in. Does it annoy you that, you know, he says he wants to leave to win things, but when he's had the chance to win things with Spurs, he hasn't really shown up?
That's a good question.
Yeah, it is a bit frustrating, I'm not going to lie. And there's quite a few Spurs fans that have actually said, you know what, he's not a big game player. I don't necessarily agree with that, but you can make that case, judging by the things that you've just said. The facts are out there. He's not shown up in these big, big games. But... I don't think the team has shown up either.
I think that's a bit harsh. You can't say he's not a big game player because he scored in North London derbies.
That's what
he scored
saying.
Against Liverpool. He scored against Man United and all this. You know, Thierry never really scored for us in a cup final as well.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things that kind of just happens.
And that's what I'm saying. And I just think the whole team hasn't performed in these big moments. I mean, that Man City League Cup final, that was the most shocking performance I've ever seen.
Wouldn't you put that down to Ryan Mason?
Well, yeah, that is probably a big factor in why we lost that game. But I'm just saying the team overall wasn't good. So you can't just pinpoint one player. But
Well, all right, let me take it back to yesterday, which was Monday the...
Second?
Monday the second.
Monday, wow.
I know, it's crazy. This week's going so slow or fast.
It's slow.
So Monday 2nd, day number 1, he doesn't turn up for training. What was your immediate reaction? And then the follow up to that was when you woke up this morning and seen that actually it's happened again.
Yeah.
Were you as angry this morning as you were yesterday, or did you have time to process maybe like the pros and the cons, or why he's doing it as opposed to...
Wait, at first, did you even believe it?
No, I didn't. I didn't believe it at first. I found it all very strange. I found it weird that there was a reporter there, first of all. It almost seems a bit set up to me, and that's why a lot of people are talking about his brother. He's being advised very, very poorly, because I just don't think that's the steps you should be taking. I personally think Kane needs to speak up. Us as fans should just know where he stands. Put a statement out. Look at what Pereira's done from West Brom. Do something like that. That's the least you can do. At the end of the day, he's adored by Spurs fans. I adore him. He is a legend, whether we like that term or not. I personally would put him as a Spurs legend.
I think he's definitely a Spurs legend.
You know, he's an academy player. We've actually made him, because Tim Sherwood gave him his opportunity in the Europa League, then he gave him his opportunity in the Premier League, and then he kicked on from there. He got an opportunity at Tottenham. So to go about it in this manner, it's unacceptable. And to do it again today, to be honest, Mark, it's made me even more angry. And it's made me, just surprised. Just surprised.
So I guess the natural question is, where do we go from here?
Or
actually, not we, because... We're out, like Mark said, we're outsiders. Where do you, as a supporter, and where do Spurs go from here?
Do you know what? It's such a tricky situation, because this isn't an easy situation for Kane, because he should know Daniel Levy is not going to accept a low fee for Harry Kane. But I think Kane is doing this to almost put pressure on Levy. And I am starting to think, because Mark said it earlier in the group, we may actually have to drop our price, because I don't think
it's good. That was me.
Was that you? Oh, I'm sorry.
You're saying you couldn't let me just get the credit for that one?
No. There's a lot. You get a lot of credit for a lot of things.
There's a lot of negative press, and I don't think it's good for the dressing room. Players are going to be around all of this, and it's not healthy. And I've said it so many times before, haven't I, boys? Like, if a player don't want to be here, I think you should leave.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact you're not turning up for training, if he does end up staying, is he really going to be at that level? I don't think so.
I mean, you don't know. You can't.
I really don't. I don't see it.
You can't speculate.
He's going to begrudge the club so much, and Daniel Levy, that he hasn't been allowed to leave. But I'm sorry, I've said it before. He signed that long contract. As unfortunate as it is, you've got 3 years left on it. City need to cough up the cash. Have your beef with City, if anything, for not paying the money that they should pay to get you at the club.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't know what goes on like behind the scenes in terms of like if Levy may have said to Man City like Kane's not for sale.
Well, apparently they did make a bid for 100 million
and
Levy's rejected it.
But yeah, so in that conversation, Levy could have turned around and said, don't come back for Kane, he's not for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kane's like, well, we had an agreement that you would at least negotiate.
And that's true. And this is why I think the root cause of the problem is Daniel Levy. Like, people going for Kane, look, as much as I think his behaviour is unacceptable, to start tarnishing his name and calling him all these awful names, it's not on. Like, give the guy a bit of...
If you were in Levy's position...
Yeah. Oh, God. I tell you, if I was in his position, do you want to ask me that question?
No, wait, listen. If you were in Levy's position and come the end of the season, Harry Kane came to you and said, look, I've given you everything I can, all these years, blah, blah, blah. I want to leave.
Yeah.
What would you have said?
I'd say, yeah, that's great, but you're only leaving if a reasonable fee comes in.
Cool. So let's presume that Daniel Levy didn't say that and he said, yep, we'll work on a move for you.
Yeah.
That what you've said is more upfront and said, if we can get a reasonable fee, then we'll let you go. But from what it seems, why would Kane not turn up to training?
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's why there's definitely more to this. And that's why I can't get too angry as well, because we don't know. Because if he has done that, Kane is well within his rights to not turn up and kick up a fuss. Because that's again, false promises.
It's not even in Kane. Well, I didn't think it was in Kane's.
It's not at all, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Very bizarre.
In his nature to not turn up.
But like, that's why I don't. I think his brother, he's a terrible agent. Like, he's only got Harry Kane on his books, right? And I don't think he's an experienced agent. He's in his ear, personally. That's what I think. And he's an Arsenal fan, so.
Well, we've
him.
Seen it millions and millions of times. Ronaldinho's brother was his agent.
Mm-hmm.
And countless others. And Alwa's brother's his agent, and so on and so forth. Yeah, it can go one of two ways, that one.
But what do you guys think about it? Like, genuinely, can you understand why Spurs fans are a bit upset? Because some rival fans on Twitter, I was arguing with a couple of Chelsea fans, they were saying, oh, you know what, good for him. And Rio Ferdinand's even said it, because he was spatting with Jamie Carragher. Jamie Carragher thinks it's out of order of him to not turn up. And Rio's like, you know what, good for him. He wants to leave trophies. This is what he has to do. But what do you guys think? Like, imagine if an Aubameyang did that, or maybe not Aubameyang, someone that...
I mean, you don't even have to go that far. Like,
how would you feel?
Alexis Sanchez isn't even, like, raised at our club. And I was pissed off that he was, like, throwing tantrums on the field, like, throwing his gloves out and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I forgot about Sanchez, actually.
Stuff like that, it's going to get you... It's going to get on your nerves, because... As a supporter, you love this club. You want the club to be at its best shape to compete and whatever. And then you see players do that. And it's exactly what you said. If you don't want to play for my club, leave. Go. But it is a bit trickier when, as you pointedly said before, that Harry Kane was raised and given an opportunity by Spurs. But I can't lie, I'd be disappointed.
Yeah,
I'd be really like upset.
You really would be, but especially it must be frustrating because season starts in a week and a half.
Yeah,
like the worst thing.
Season starts in a week and a half. It looks like I know Daniel Levy's being stush, and he's being, you know, he's handling business how he handles business. Fair enough, that's what he does. He's a businessman. He's been doing this for a long, long time, but. If I'm him, I'm thinking I've got to get this sorted within the next week because we need to bring in replacements of ample quality. I think we mentioned this was it last week?
Yeah.
Where we said it shouldn't be a Gareth Bale thing where you bring in 7-8 players to replace one player. You need to bring in two quality players to replace this guy. And if you're not putting in that groundwork now because you think he's going to stay and he does end up leaving, then what for Spurs at that point?
I agree. And that's why I tweeted it today. It's paramount we get a backup if Kane is staying. Like, we can't just have Kane, because I genuinely don't think he will be at that level. I know you guys disagree. I don't think he's going to be motivated. But regardless, we need a backup anyway. But we are.
I don't know. It's World Cup. It's the World Cup season. And sorry, Mark. I didn't mean to cut you off. But I just can't see someone of Harry Kane's level of professionalism. I know.
Yeah,
skipping
but look
training,
at what he's doing.
But stepping on the pitch is different.
I know.
Especially when you're a player like Harry Kane, who loves to score goals, loves to assist. I can't see him.
But imagine, like, I just wonder, you know, football players are human. How are his teammates going to feel? They're going to feel away. That connection that he might have with Son, who's just signed a new contract, he might be looking at you thinking, you don't even want to be here. I don't want to play with you if you don't want to be here.
Some of them might understand it. I know they're at Spurs and they've got high ambitions, and every single one of that Spurs squad will be thinking, please don't go. They'll probably be thinking that silently because he's your best player. If Lloris wasn't there, he'd be your club captain. Mm-hmm. He's not the type of player you want to see leave your club. But I'm sure players who have been there for a long time, like Son, I think he'd understand.
Yeah.
And I know Son has dedicated himself to Spurs. He just signed a new deal.
Yeah, he did.
Am I correct? He just signed a new deal. So Son's commitment is there. And I don't know. It's a tricky one. It is a tricky one. I think they'll understand, but I think at the same time, they'll be a bit disappointed in him.
But we are apparently looking at this. I'm really sorry. I'm going to...
Vlahovic.
The Florentina striker. Yeah.
Fiorentina.
Fiorentina. Okay. What Junior said, guys? We're looking at him, but apparently he's 50 million. I can't see us paying that money.
And that's another thing as well that comes with the price tag of Harry Kane. Other clubs will know that you have money. And so...
Well, there's rumours. Are we spending the money? Because I don't know if we'll get into it later, but we've confirmed the signing now of Romero. Obviously, I have to see the shirt to fully believe it. But that's like nearly 50 million. Where's that money come from? I don't know if it's in instalments. It probably is. But people are suggesting, how are we already spending the Kane money? But I don't know.
It's 50 million euros plus 5 million added on, right?
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
Euros again. I don't know what it is in pounds.
Listen, I just saw here we go. I went looking at the price.
Fair enough.
But just quickly, what that doesn't do, that signing, is a really, really good signing.
Oh, it doesn't improve us, yeah.
Because it replaces the quality that you had.
Yeah.
Definitely in Alderweireld. Obviously Vertonghen's gone. And he's a lot better than Dyer and Sanchez.
A lot better.
But
they're still here.
did you only go and sign him because Alderweireld left? So are you a club now who looks to just sign players when you're replacing someone?
Yeah.
Or are you a club who signs players to strengthen and also keep hold of your best players?
Definitely the former Mark. Definitely.
But also, Tanya made a good point in the group chat that you said it last night. The Romero thing is just a distraction from the whole Kane
circus. Oh, no, absolutely. I know this club too well. But with Romero, I think it's a great signing, but I don't want him partnered with a Dyer or a Sanchez. So I'm hearing Sanchez is next out.
But Rodon.
Rodon impressed me at the Euros.
I've spoken to a lot of Spurs fans and a lot of them don't rate him, which I'm really surprised about.
But you can't really... It's one thing like you having an opinion, watching a game and then talking to a lot of people and taking their opinions. That's all good, but I would always say... take it with a pinch of salt and like trust your gut. Like don't just blindly follow what everyone else. Like if we listen to Abdi, we'd hate Tielemans, we'd hate De Bruyne, we'd hate Mbappe.
No, but what I'm saying is, I'm hoping Sanchez is next. Sevilla have an interest in him apparently, but the problem we have, and not just us, even Arsenal, it's very hard to get rid of players at the moment. It's especially the deadwood.
Yeah.
And I know Levy, he's going to probably demand 40 million or 30. Sanchez is not worth that. Listen, take 20 million. Take it and just go. Cut our losses. Because
it's because you spent 30 odd million on
I think
Sanchez.
It was more than that. It's about 40 something million.
Rah.
Which is just a madness. But when we signed him from Ajax, like,
yeah, he was the next.
He was meant to be the next best thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Which this Romero, listen, I've heard good things, but you know, I'm gonna listen to what Junior has once said. We don't know what he's gonna be like in the league.
Mm.
So we'll have to see, but it's still a good signing. But it's all a distraction, as I always.
No, but I think Atalanta were like, is that Atalanta were big in Serie A last season.
But it makes sense why the deal took so long, because they wanted to get a replacement in. So I think they're going to get Demiral or Demiral, whatever.
Yeah. From Juve, yeah. Let's move on from Spurs.
Yeah, please. Oh my God, guys, that was painful.
But moving on, just down the road. To the rivals Arsenal, confirmed finally the signing of Ben White from Brighton for $50 million, and then the biggest U-turn of the summer, I guess. Xhaka,
don't say it.
Xhaka from signing for Roma has now put pen to paper on a 4-year contract.
Are you joking? 4 years you've given him?
Yeah.
No, I don't know how else to say it. No, do you know what? All jokes aside, I actually feel sorry for Arsenal fans. That is an absolute joke.
Mm.
This guy, I know I said he had a decent-ish season, but have we not said he's... Is it the most mistakes leading to goals?
Yeah, so...
Why are you giving this guy another 4 years? And I'm sorry, he disrespected the Arsenal fans by throwing his... What did he do? Throw his shirt?
He threw the captain armband and then he...
Let's be honest, and I'm not here to But, you know, they disrespected him as well in terms of
booing him.
Okay.
Yeah, so
Fair enough.
That was a reaction, a provoked reaction, but there was a whole...
But he shouldn't have reacted that way.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask you something, but I've
Wait, who? Me or... Oh, me.
Yeah,
oh.
But I've...
he
I've
looked
just,
at me, though.
I've fully forgotten.
About Xhaka's new contract.
I wasn't even going to ask you something, but you remind me what I was going to say. So, no, because Tanya, you was talking about... the bad side of Granit Xhaka, but there is a good side.
No, there is. There actually is.
I remember watching the France-Switzerland knockout game in the Euros.
Incredible.
I've got to be honest, he was the best player on the pitch. Him and Paul Pogba in that particular game were the two best players on the pitch. So with Granit Xhaka, that's the annoying thing, I guess, from an Arsenal fan perspective. You just don't know what Xhaka you're going to get on any given day.
But you don't want a player like that. And that
that's not the type
forward.
Of that isn't the type of player that you want, particularly if you're trying to build momentum in a season where, let's be honest, we've got seven clubs, I'd say, with a chance of making the top four this season. And at some point in the season, those clubs are going to have to put win runs together of 6 or 7 wins on the trot. And I'm talking about any club who's serious about getting in the top four, because it's going to be so competitive this year.
Yeah, it is.
And I just feel like with a player like Xhaka in that Arsenal team, where, like I said a second ago, you don't know which Xhaka's turning up on a day. It could be this world-class Xhaka that dominated France in a Euros knockout game, or it could be the Xhaka that throws his captain's armband on the floor and sulks. You don't know what Xhaka you're going to get.
Mm.
And when you need to be putting 5-6 wins together on the bounce to really build some momentum and get points on the board, I don't know, but Junior, what would you say?
Yeah, what
to
do
that?
You think, Junior?
I mean, I was so gassed when you was gonna leave.
don't think I've ever seen you and Abdi
you
smile
were
as much.
Celebrating.
No, honestly, I was genuinely so excited because Xhaka, like Mark said, he comes with great games in him. The France one is an example, but he comes with this absolute like reckless moment just waiting to happen where he'll strangle a Burnley player or he'll assist Chris Wood or he'll, you know, I don't know, he just comes with a reckless moment in him. It's like a bug that you just can't, there's no updates, there's no software updates that you can just like debug this guy. He did have good moments last season, particularly when defensive responsibility is kind of taken away from him. So like when he drops into left, like, so when he plays alongside Partey and then, for example, Tierney bombs forward and he drops into left back, that takes away a lot of defensive responsibility in the middle of the park where he is more likely to be volatile and cause a moment of madness. I don't know. He scored at the weekend against Chelsea.
Yeah, he did.
He grabbed the badge and stuff. I don't know.
All right. We spoke about this game earlier. Brentford away Friday night, not this Friday, the following Friday. Does Xhaka start for you?
Well, now Partey's injured, he has to.
Yeah, he's going to miss the start of the season, isn't he?
Let me reframe that question, because that's an unfortunate injury to pick up just before the season starts. So let me rephrase that. Everyone's fit and available. Does Xhaka, this is your personal opinion, does he start for Arsenal?
Well, our current midfield options are pretty weak.
Is it Elneny? Listen, it's Elneny.
So it's Partey, Xhaka, Elneny, Lokonga, Joe Willock.
Okay.
And Aziz, who's a youngster. But right. I think Elneny needs to go and we need to make a decision on Joe Willock. But if, you know what, I would take a punt on the first game of the season and I'd play, if everyone was fit, Partey and Lokonga.
Yeah.
That's who I would go with. But Partey's...
Do you think, and now I ask this as someone who hasn't seen Lokonga, I'm not coming like some Lokonga expert, but I know he's a bit of a midfield enforcer, and he can do that dirty work in there.
He's more of like a deep lying, like passing type.
Okay.
So similar to Xhaka in that sense.
Yeah.
Xhaka can do that dirty work also. It's just with Xhaka, you don't know if the dirty work's going to get him a red or not.
Yeah.
Do you see Partey and Lokonga as similar players? And would you want a bit more variety in a two-man midfield?
Yes, to the more variety, which is why, you know, obviously, like, Locatelli's not happening. But someone like Bruno Guimarães, who plays for Brazil and Lyon, or even Aouar, just provide something more dynamic.
Mm. To be honest,
I think we miss Ramsey.
You've never replaced him.
No.
It's not about missing him. He went and... Who did you sign to replace him?
No one.
No one. There you go. I think Smith-Rowe is a very viable option for you in midfield, but as if you play a three-man midfield.
As a 10.
I could see him in an 8 role, similar to where Coutinho used to drop in for Liverpool. I can really see him in that kind of advanced 8 role.
But then would you have
players like Partey and Lokonga sitting in behind him.
Because that was my question. Would you have to...
Well, if I was setting Arsenal up, honestly, I'd have Smith Rowe in the midfield. I'd have Pepe on the right. And I'm completely honest with you, I don't know who I'd have up top on the left. Probably Lacazette and Aubameyang, but...
I will say this, though, actually, you mentioned Pepe. I think he's going to have a good season because he looked quite sharp towards the end of the season.
Yeah. Sorry, do you know what? I'm forgetting about Saka.
Saka, yeah.
And Saka.
So, I mean, you would take...
Well, and Martinelli's
you tell me, Junior. Who, because I'm hearing Pepe's had a decent preseason and I'm hearing Aubameyang's having a really stinky one.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh God.
So is it for you? All right, let me ask you one question and then I want to hear about you and Abdi's conversation.
Abdi's dropped some comments in the
is
chat.
It
by the
for
way.
You, is it for you? Is it for you? Is it take Lacazette and Aubameyang out of that team because I want to see Saka on the right or the left, Pepe on either side, and then whoever it may be, or is it play them both and play one of Pepe and Saka?
Hey, Martinelli, man. I'm telling you. Martinelli's
at the Olympics, so he will have, once that's done, he won't be ready in time for Brentford or your first cup in October.
But when he is, I'd play him. Real talk, I would.
I'm open to these possibilities. Listen, me and Abdi had an argument here. Remember, you guys might remember.
When do you guys not argue?
No,
did
okay,
you see
fine. We had a heated discussion. Is that better?
Okay, heated discussion.
Yeah, we had a heated discussion about Aubameyang. Do you remember?
Yeah.
This was whilst we were still on Zoom.
Wait, so was you criticizing him and he wasn't, right?
Yeah. I was saying that.
I remember, yeah.
That Aubameyang had a stinky season and he was trying to say it's not his fault. But I'm saying, like, the chances that Aubameyang misses, it kind of has to be his fault. But if you look at pre-season, he had two glorious chances against Chelsea and he missed them.
Oh,
both.
Okay.
So I'm scared that this is no longer something that just happened every other game, like once in a while where he has a bad game and he misses. And I'm worried that the pattern is that he's missing more and more.
But why is that? What's happened to him? I just don't get how overnight you can... Be a player that's so prolific. That's the word, right? Thanks, boys. And to now not score easy chances. Mm. I don't understand.
At the start of last season, I was more like concerned that we weren't creating any chances.
Yeah, that was a big thing.
But once the chances started to come, and Aubameyang was still not scoring or even getting into position, that started to worry me, because Aubameyang, he thrives off the movement off the back of a defender and then getting the goal. He is a high chance striker, which means he needs loads of chances to score a couple of goals. But it's the type of chances that he's missing that is worrying for me.
And then Lacazette as well.
And then Lacazette is just a twerker. Like,
so do you think really you could do with some improvement?
Yeah, so like we've been linked with Lautaro Martinez.
Yeah, I've Inter heard Milan. About... Yeah, that's a good... Oh, if you get him, I've heard very good things.
Listen, I'm not opposed to your idea, which is playing Martinelli up top. But if we got someone like Lautaro Martinez, I think that would be...
But how much is he worth?
Well, Inter need the money.
Yeah.
And they want to keep Lukaku. So he'll cost less than Lukaku, but it's still a heavy...
He's at a perfect... He's 23.
Yeah.
He's proven goal scorer in, you know, top Italian league and the Champions League.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a really,
You've
really
got
good
hope
signing.
That Chelsea don't get Lukaku then.
No, Inter are desperate to keep him. And our only competition for Martinez is Liverpool.
Yeah, I think you would have more of a vested interest, and I think we're just kind of looking from the outside, if that makes much sense.
As it progresses,
we see what happens.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm a believer of having your business done before the season starts. Always happening, always will.
Exactly the same.
And it just, we've got a couple of players that we're still trying to get rid of. Divock Origi.
It's difficult.
No one knows what's happening with Shaqiri. You know, Lazio were in for him, then they're not. Oh, but they're back. No one really knows what's happening. Yeah. And it's like, these aren't the types of players that you should be loaning out anymore. Sell them, you know, while you can still get an appropriate fee for them. Get them gone, because for us, it looks like, and it has been this way for the past 2-3 years, we have to wait to sell players.
Yeah, that's
before
like
we can
situation.
Buy, we've made one signing this summer, and if we don't sell anyone else, I don't know. I can't see us bringing anyone else in.
Okay.
And that to me is just like, come on, we won the Champions League. We spent $5 million that summer on a Dutch defender who's on loan at Preston. We signed Adrian on a free, and then you know we won the league. We didn't really sign
and
much.
Then you signed the left back.
We signed Simikas for 12-13 million, who's looked good this preseason, to be fair to him.
Thiago
for 20 odd million. But since Virgil and Alisson, we haven't made that big money signing. And you got to think that was like, we only made those signings off the back of a big Coutinho fee.
Yeah, so and now COVID it's like, doesn't help as well.
COVID doesn't help. So now the worry is, and everyone will share this sentiment, is there's just no money.
Yeah.
For A, for us to buy players, and B, for other clubs who would usually snap up our fringe players, that's not happening either.
Well,
difficult market.
Brings me back to the following point. So Lautaro Martinez would be a brilliant signing, and I would welcome that because it's something more dynamic and different than Aubameyang and Lacazette. I wouldn't even be opposed to giving Balogun a try in a couple of games.
Javi Elliott is staying, and he'll be in the squad this season. So I'm really excited to watch him kind of kick on. Good season last season at Blackburn, still only 18. And I like a left-footed player, man. We don't get many of those. Obviously, we've got Shaq, but chances are he'll be gone by the time the window's closed. And I just really like Javi Elliott's style of play. So I just went on to that tangent when you mentioned Balogun.
But my next point is some news that came out today, and I don't know if you guys have seen it. An Arsenal reporter, who is very reliable, said that Arsenal are in negotiations with Leicester for James Maddison for a swap deal.
I did see that.
With who, though?
So it could be Nelson, Ainsley Maitland-Niles, who Leicester have wanted previously.
Nelson. So what?
I don't know.
Because I mean, I've been reading
but
before.
Plus money.
Plus, it would have to be 50 million, surely, plus one
plus
of those
plus
players.
Because
I mean, I'd say, is it fair to say they're both worth about 20 million?
I'd maybe say Reece is probably less, and Maitland-Niles is a bit more because of his versatility. He's actually played loads of games.
Reece Nelson, I don't think they'd.
I don't know, he's a winger, and they have changed their formation to 4-4-2. So it is something that might interest them.
Leicester are due a winger, man. These men have been bringing on Albrighton in the 70th minute for the past eight years.
New contract? 3-year deal.
Oh my God, you're joking.
But the interesting thing about the Maddison thing, and I'm on my knees.
That's what I've been saying the past 3-4 weeks.
I'm on my knees. Obviously, I'm not holding my breath because Arsenal are the kings of like just leading us on, as you might know what that feels like, Tans. Yeah. But that news this morning was, you know, soured a little bit by there is another Premier League club interested as well.
Who?
Involved. I'm not sure, but it said that, you know, we were in negotiations, though it's a bit slow at the moment, and that there was another Premier League club.
Who? Do you want to know why that's so interesting?
Who would that be?
It would only be one of the quote unquote big six. Because which other club in the league could sign James Maddison from Leicester?
What, you think Spurs?
No one's...
I mean, I don't know, because you have the Harry Kane money.
Well, yes.
Supposedly.
It has to be one of the big six. Come on, it's not like teams like...
Aston Villa.
Who can have Villa or Palace.
Or Everton.
I mean, we could do is a play like Maddison, but I don't know. I doubt it. Mm.
Well, I don't know. That's the only thing that kind of sours it because, for example...
But who? I want to know who.
No, but for example, like, let's say, like, Arsenal aren't in the position to go, like, you know what, 60, 70 mil on Maddison, give him here.
Like us as well, likewise.
But if Spurs did get 160 mil for Harry Kane and you've just spent 45 million, let's say, on Romero... You would have 110 odd million to spend to just go up to Leicester and go, you know what? Here's 70. We'll take Maddison.
I don't know. Madison's just not been on our radar, though. That's
but
a name
but some
that's
some
not.
Of these things just happen just like that. Just
because
like
we were saying off it. I mean, we're after apparently Damsgaard. Fabrizio's said that's who we're looking at potentially. So I don't know if it's Tottenham,
to be
honest.
Mark mentioned something previously, like Liverpool, he likes the signings that you wake up and they just happen, like the Fabinho one.
Yeah.
And you just don't know. Like clubs don't share everything and sometimes some deals just go under the radar.
Mm.
Now, obviously, I would much rather him come to Arsenal.
Oh, yeah. I think you need a player like him as well. Yeah.
I wouldn't want him to go to Spurs. Yeah.
Well, would you...
Not happening, don't worry.
When you say they need a player like him, what type of player would you say Smith Rowe is? That's directed at Julio.
Well, yeah, he's got the number 10 shirt, hasn't he?
Yeah, no, that's a fair question because some would say if you bring in Maddison, that might limit Smith Rowe's playing time. But Smith Rowe is a very versatile player. Last season, he played out on the left.
I was just about... I can really see him playing, like, not as a out-and-out winger, but on that, you know, that left inside kind of...
Yeah.
100% see him.
And I think the way that, you know, Saka, Odegaard and Smith Rowe played towards the end of the season where they were just kind of, like, interchanging and it was... That... is good football for me. Like the fluidity, teams don't really know. Like, for example, if you got a man-to-man marker, like manager, like maybe Roy Hodgson was, and you're dragging players about, that really stretches teams and it creates holes in the defence and stuff. So I don't mind seeing something like Saka, Maddison, Smith Rowe.
Yeah, decent. Because
that,
decent,
I think that's going to create a lot of chances. And Maddison is explosive in terms of he'll shoot from outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, we don't really have a player who would do that. But what I would like to see, if Maddison was, and this is like me dreaming, if Maddison did sign for Arsenal, would be to see his assists and his goals go up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I watched...
I like
one of his interviews from after, I can't remember which one it was, but he said that himself. And I like that in a football player, you know, just openly self-aware to say like, I believe I'm playing well, but actually I should be getting more goals and more assists and I'm going to put pressure on myself to do that. That's the type of player that I like.
Yeah.
Someone who embraces the pressure rather than, you know, kind of shifts it to the side and just gets on with their post-match interview, doesn't really speak about themselves. I think James Maddison will be a very, very, very good signing.
Yeah.
I don't know about the timing, though. If I'm him, you know, you've got a cup to defend. You've got a Europa League campaign to head on into.
Can I ask you a question just on the back of that, then? If Leicester are changing their formation to 4-4-2, where, as James Maddison, do you see yourself fitting in?
I don't think they're changing their formation. I think they're using that formation so they have options going into the season. Yeah. I think Brendan Rodgers has always been quite stiffening. I want to play 4-3-3. It's always been that way. It was the way at Liverpool. I'm pretty sure it was the way at Swansea and when he was at Reading. And I think it's just about him, you know, he's got an abundance of strikers this season now, more than he's had in previous seasons with Vardy, Iheanacho,
he's got Daka. Now. Ooh, what a signing that is.
And I think, I mean, quite rightly as well, you probably want as many of them on the pitch as possible. But there'll be games where 4-4-2 is way too open. Like, you're not going to go away to City and play 4-4-2. You're not going to go to Anfield and play 4-4-2 unless you're confident that we're going to outplay this team. So I think that's more of a, let's practice this in pre-season. Let's get comfortable with it, but we'll use it when we need to use it. And plus, I think James Maddison could do a bit of a job in centre mid, particularly if you've got a player like Ndidi sitting in behind you.
Yeah, I mean, he does have good interception and tackle stats for Leicester. The report that I saw said that James Maddison is interested.
Yeah, he is.
I've seen that as well.
So, which is a good thing. I think it would be
the statement signing that Arsenal haven't really made in years. And I know you signed Pepe for a lot of money, but this would be a different type of statement signing, I think, because you're signing big in the league that he's well known in the league that, you know, he's really impressed in over the years. I can't remember the last time you bought big from a Premier League club. And I just think it would be a bit of a statement from Arsenal to say, you know what?
Ben White,
50 M's, 23, really good centre-back, young, got the best of his career ahead of him. I think that's a great signing, but you do need more. And I think a James Maddison signing would be Arsenal saying, you know what?
We mean business.
We've been straddling for the last few seasons, you know, 7th, 8th, and I'm not, this isn't a dig or anything, but, you know, there have been cup wins that maybe have masked how bad you've been. Yeah. And I think it's time, if this happens, it's Arsenal saying, you know what, we're on the comeback
trail.
No,
I agree, because he could be the difference for you. I'm not saying you'll get top four, but he will be the difference in you challenging and getting a lot closer to top four than you would probably without him.
Because you have to, okay, let's say, you know, in an ideal situation, we sign Martinez and Maddison.
Oh, that's a very good, already that, you look so much
but
better.
But apparently, because that's what we're doing, we're trying to chase both of them at the same time. It doesn't sound like it's an either or situation.
It immediately, it's two players who go straight into your 11.
Yep.
Immediately improves
and
you.
And we don't have midweek distractions.
That's something that people are massively overlooking. That you don't have the midweek games. That's going to benefit you massively.
When we secured fourth for the first time in a good while, I think it was Klopp's first full season at Liverpool. He took over in October halfway through the previous season. So when we got fourth place on the final day of the season, I think it was Middlesbrough.
Yeah, that game still pains me.
3-0. We didn't have any European football that season. And since then, we haven't missed out on the Champions League.
So
can I ask you a question?
Drop the mic.
No. So what I'm saying is that sometimes it's nice to have a season where you can focus on the league.
Oh, wait, yeah, focus on the league. Yeah.
You don't have midweek Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday to worry about.
Yep.
And it means, you know, you can kind of spread out your squad players in the League Cup and the early rounds of the FA Cup, but you can really, really focus on the league. And like I said, when we were able to do that and we secured fourth place, we've kicked on and we haven't looked back
since. So can I ask you a question? Because I think I know the answer to this and I think it might be Salah. But who did you sign after securing Champions League football for the first time in however long? Who were your sign-ins that summer?
God, you're asking me to stretch back a long time.
Because you already had Mane. That was the season that Mane's first season. Am I wrong?
So Mane scored at Emirates on his debut.
Yeah, yeah.
That was that season. Salah came the season after that.
So the season you secured Champions League. So already you're Salah obviously wasn't a high profile name at that point, but that's still someone you were able to attract.
Mm-hmm. Even just, I know this sounds silly, but even players like James Milner, who's won it all, not the Champions League at the time, but he had won it all. And he wanted to come to us. And his signings like that as well. It's not just the players whose names ring a bell and make you think, oh, he's really going to improve them. It's the it's players like, for me, and not everyone will agree with this, but players like James Milner wanting to come to your club as well at the age he would have been, what, 28, 29? He's got one more big move left in his career, one trophy left to win, and he had the faith that he'd do it with us, and he did. Yeah. And I think that sets precedent, you know. Have faith in the team that you're going to, i.e. the conversation we've just had about James Maddison. Who knows if he were to move to Arsenal and you were to finish fourth this season, who knows how you'd kick on from then?
Mad.
Don't make me dream, guys.
Yeah, oh my God, that's exciting.
I'm just speaking from experience because it's eerily similar to to how I was feeling before when we kind of had no European football. I think it was the 2015-16 season. We had no European football whatsoever. And I was going into the season thinking we could use this as a positive and we should.
Yeah.
And we did.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
But you had Klopp.
Yeah, we had Klopp. So, I mean, it's going to be an interesting one with Arsenal. I think you have to start well. I think the nature of Arsenal fans, not all Arsenal fans, but, and it's the nature of football fans, not just Arsenal fans, but I think if you don't start off well against Brentford, i.e. win, questions will be asked straight away. And I don't think that's good for the Arsenal team, club.
I think Arteta's getting sacked.
We've already signed Ben White, we've already signed Tavares and Lokonga. If we sign Maddison and Martinez, if we have a bad start, I said to my friend, I think by November he's gone.
So what if you don't sign them?
But listen. We start off at Brentford, then we got Chelsea, then we got Man City, and then three games after we got Spurs. So it's going to be hard.
Ooh, that's
off the bat. It's not going to be go in and we're going to have, you know, newly promoted teams and then we're going to have the mid-table teams to just ease our season in. Not that that's easy in the Premier League, but it already starts with Chelsea, Man City.
You know what? If you do get in a situation where, let's say he loses the first four games, if I'm Arsenal, I'd sack him.
No, you can't lose the first four games.
Go and get Conte. He's still there. He's still out there.
Inter.
What do you mean? He's left Inter.
Oh, yeah, he has left
Inter. He's a free agent.
Oh.
Yeah, Spurs were after him.
Yeah, London. Once upon a time. I still follow him on Instagram. But
a brain fart.
But...
Yeah,
he's still available. So
No, I was still on the fact that Tanya said lose the first four games, which is Brentford, Chelsea, Man City, and Norwich.
I'm just saying, if
we lost to Brentford and Norwich, I would cry. So
if
Arsenal don't do that to me, but let's move on. Last week we had a couple questions that I had prepared for a moment like this, and it turned out that we didn't get time to talk about them.
Okay.
But Copper 90, funnily enough, asked one of the questions that I was going to ask you guys.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to say the question that I was going to ask, but read you some of the comments that they got.
Okay.
So one of the questions that I was going to ask you guys is, what's the one rule you would change in football?
Whoa, what a...
Yeah, it's a loaded question. And here are some of the responses, and then we can talk about them and then come up with our own.
This should be interesting.
So so someone said, no referee or linesman, just vibes. So remember, these people were going to say, like...
Right, that's
great. That's not football, that's just vibes ball. You've got to rename that
That's
one.
Just park football.
How is that being UFC, bro? Like, what's going on here?
An Arsenal fan.
Oh, God.
Scrap it all. Life of an Arsenal fan.
I'll big him up every time.
One person said, all coaches have to be in full kit, like baseball.
Are people serious?
Shin pads as well.
I thought this would be like proper.
No, they got to come out in shin pads and boots.
Okay, now we go to the serious ones. Okay,
serious now.
I just thought, you know. Mic up the refs like rugby.
Okay, like that one. Like that.
Okay. Replace yellow card with penalties like in ice hockey.
No. That'd be crazy.
I just think there are already too many penalties.
I don't think he means like penalties. Like the person has to go sit on a bench for like 5 minutes.
Oh, that is interesting.
Do you know what?
But that's too.
It's not the football. It's not the football we grew up on. I know, man.
That'll get too much. Yeah. I think.
Okay.
Because how many yellow cards do you get a game? What? What if someone on the pitch gets three yellow cards? What? There's three of them.
No. So it's still the same rules, but so you get one yellow card, you're off for 5 minutes. You get a second yellow card, you're off. Sent off.
That's true, but what? Say you get three yellow cards in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the same in hockey. If a team gets into a fight and three men get yellow cards, they all have to get off.
I don't think that would work, but I see it.
But I mean, it happens in hockey, just as for context.
Yeah, but hockey, the ref literally just lets them fight and then we'll come in like after 10 bangs have been thrown. So I don't know how much we can compare that to.
Next one, I had never thought about this.
Okay.
Ooh. And I actually think it's actually a good idea.
Okay.
Whether it should be implemented or not is another question, but I think it's a good idea. No rebounds after penalties. The kick is taken and the play is immediately stopped. A goal is given, or if missed, saved or off target, the play is stopped.
But I thought they introduced that already.
No, that was keeper coming off the line.
So this is basically like if a player hit, like for example, if the keeper saves a penalty, the play is immediately stopped and it's a goal.
Yeah, I agree with that as well.
Or a kick out.
Mark's shaking his head.
Disagree.
But I just
disagree. It's part of the game.
Because if this was an actual rule, Harry Kane wouldn't have scored against Denmark.
Because really, it is a bit unfair for the goalkeeper that essentially the penalty taker gets another chance when he's actually saved it. It's a bit unfair.
But the ball's in play. I think the ball's in play, and I think that's the be all and end all. It's like if someone rattles the crossbar from a free kick, well, we're just going to stop it, like stop the game, and let no one go for the rebound.
But to be fair, this is specifically about penalties.
No, I hear that, but for me, no.
This one, I feel like it should be a thing.
Okay, you said that just now.
Because
you said that for everyone.
No, I said the last one was an interesting one, but I don't know if it should be implemented. This one I find really interesting because I think it would make it quote unquote fairer.
Okay.
But I can see the cons to it. Penalties should be taken by the person who wins them.
I like that idea, man.
So it's a little bit out of the box.
Whoa.
But it's kind of like, you know, it gives people a chance to score penalties who never.
I don't like that.
No, for example, do you know how much I'd love to see like Joel Matip step up for a penalty?
No, you would not want to see that.
Because you know in Barcelona.
Your heart would be in your mouth.
His big gangly legs just sprinting up to them. I would love that. It would just add a bit of a different dimension to it, man.
Because you know in basketball, free throws, they are taken by the player who wins them. So for example, I don't know who the best free throw player is, but let's bring in LeBron James because he's the best. Let's assume that he's the best player.
All right, go on. I've got one, by the way.
So then like LeBron James would take every free throw if a team got a free throw. But in basketball, it's whoever wins, whoever is fouled, takes the free throw.
All right, so what about the person that makes the penalty, makes the foul, goes in goal?
No.
Wait, imagine. Wow. Why not? It's a penalty, isn't it?
No, Tanya.
Who's the shortest player in the league? Could you imagine that? So, he's not in the league.
Lucas Moura.
I was going to say Insigne. He's literally...
Well, Harvey Elliott.
Harvey Elliott.
Shaqiri.
I'd pay good money to watch Shaq try and save
the penalty.
Not joking.
Yeah, but... No, I think winning the penalty is different than... I don't think you can just go, it keeps, move.
Why not?
No, the keeper has to stay.
Let's do it.
No, I'm more in favour of this one than the keeper. The keeper change. All right. Teams can call for the referee to check the monitor once pre-game, a bit like tennis. So they have basically like one... foul call or whatever
it
is.
Yeah, they've got like a...
Because in the NFL, they have a flag, like coaches have a flag, and if they want to challenge a call,
they'll do one challenge.
They get like a limit. So it's not like a free
like
for all.
Like in tennis, they get three, don't they?
Yeah. Not for me. I just feel like
cricket
there's... There's already too, like... In a half of football, there's already too many, you know, stop and start. And I think more of that is not good for the game.
Okay.
Football's a fast-paced game, and I think football should stay as fast-paced as possible.
It's true. When you add too many things, it's just not the time for it, is there?
Okay. This is the last one from this batch. Golden goal is much better and reasonable than penalty shootouts.
A what?
Okay, so ages ago, they came up with this rule about the golden goal. So they replaced extra time with golden goal. So you know in extra time currently now, if a team scores, the other team has the rest of the time allotted to score an equaliser.
Oh.
Golden goal is the first team who scores wins.
Oh, okay. So basically bringing that back.
Yeah, and so saying like they play until they score, no penalties.
I don't know about that one.
This is the first one that's made me sit back and think like,
because
I love penalties, but think about the energy in a golden goal. Like, you know that this game's going on until one of us scores.
Yeah.
It would just add an extra dimension to that, the end of a game. But I don't know. I like a penalty shootout as well.
Yeah.
I'm a bit on the fence, I'll be honest, on that one.
Because you could end up playing for like 3 hours and
And
you've got a game at the weekend.
That's crazy.
All right, so now we've gone through those. What would be the rule that you would change?
I'm surprised there weren't something in there about offside. I mean, you obviously can't get rid of it, but offside really annoys me.
I mean, Wenger did say that he would get rid of offside.
You know what? Pick up Wenger.
No. He's a criminal for that. Someone lock him up. Lock him up and throw away the keys. Get rid of offside.
Why not, man? It's annoying, bro.
No, but Bearman would just hang a goal hang.
This is football. This is the rules of football.
Do you know what they
need
to rechange, right? They need to take it back. You know when a player is offside and they do the flag up after they're offside? That needs to stop.
Okay.
Just put the flag up when they're offside.
Do you know what? Funnily enough, you've mentioned that. That's one of the rules that has been officially changed ahead of next season.
Oh, is it?
So not to the extent that they just put up the flag straight away, but you know, like, and it was so annoying. You know, last season it was a clear offside.
Yeah,
they wouldn't have raised their flag because so just in case they score and then we can go back and check it on VAR anyway. Now it is, look, if it's a clear offside, flag it straight away.
Yeah, that's
And they've implemented that. I think it was, I can't remember who it was, which ref, but he came out and explained a couple of the rule changes for next season. So another example is we aren't going to see the process for VAR. It's going to be like in the Euros where they just show you the finalized result.
Okay.
So you don't sit there for 3 minutes watching them draw lines. And
I like that.
And
I like
they're gonna use slightly thicker lines as well to judge the offside. So it's not like toenail, no more toenail offsides as well. Yeah. So there are a few actually
thicker lines. Aren't we lucky?
A couple of improvements, but they did say
that even in the thicker line, if there was a toenail, they wouldn't count the toenail. They'd just say
he's on.
So back to the old days where it was slightly unfairly for defenders, but the benefit of the doubt kind of is back with the attackers now. It seems like going into this new season, which is only a positive thing because more goals means
more goals,
better games of football.
So did you have any rule changes that you would like to see?
No, I don't know. You know, like my mind's kind of.
I know it's a kind of out there question.
It is an out there question.
Have you got one?
No. Well, no. I did have one and then I forgot because I was going
to
say it last
week. I
thought
mine was a good idea, to be honest.
What, no offsides?
No, just for banter. You know, the player that gives away the foul for the penalty to go in goal.
That would be absolutely
But it would
carnage.
Be fun. Yeah, it would be brilliant that entertainment, be though. You'd pay to watch it, though.
Yeah, I would pay to watch it in
Xhaka giving
like
away a penalty then going in goal?
No.
Come on.
Because usually he gives a penalty away against Spurs and it's usually against Son, so I would not like to see
but
that.
He might do better in goal. He likes...
No, but I'd trust Son over Xhaka.
Yeah, that's true.
A next question I had for you guys is, do you think player wages are too high?
Yes, I do.
And why? You can't just say, yes, I do. You need to tell me why.
I mean, there's not a particular reason why. I just think sometimes players are overpaid and...
No, is it sometimes or is it all the time?
Sometimes. I just look at the Ozil situation. And I just think when players are that overpaid, I think you get a bit complacent, you get a bit comfortable, and it's almost like, okay, I've got my paycheck. I don't need to put in as much effort.
Okay,
that's
so
how you can look at it.
So what you're saying is players should be paid on their effort.
Yeah, and their merit, yeah. I don't personally agree with you signing a player and then paying them X amount a week straight away. Like, so much money.
Imagine that. You better cover 20 kilometres this game or you're not getting paid this week.
No, but do you not think they get paid ridiculous amounts of money?
I think supply and demand is a real thing. So I think they get paid what clubs can afford because clubs get paid astronomical money compared to what players are paid.
Yeah.
But I do think players are paid too much money. I don't know. I don't even know if that makes sense, me putting all of that into one sentence.
I think you just kind of gave it context.
I understand why players are paid what they are paid, because the money in football is unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
But it's like me saying to you, Tanya, do you think Jeff Bezos is too highly paid?
No. Look at it like this, right? How much is Aubameyang on?
About 300k a week. But wait, can I say one thing?
If you reduce that slightly to 200k, do you not think that money that you're paying him, all those wages, that could go towards a player?
It could.
Do you know what I mean?
But then Aubameyang wouldn't be at Arsenal because someone else would offer him the money that Arsenal aren't. That's why wages are so high.
So I remember now the rule that I wanted to implement.
All right.
And I would do this across, if I had the power, across all leagues all over the world. I would introduce a
cap.
Salary cap.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
That way, every club has a fair chance.
Yeah.
To
that's absolutely fair.
It's like it's the same cap for everyone. Whereas in Spain, I believe that it's your cap is the something compared to the income that you get in revenue and stuff like that. So clubs like Barcelona and Real Madrid will always have an advantage over Levante or whatever. But for me, I feel like it would be a fairer way, and players would kind of almost be all equal in salary.
But then do you think clubs then should be paid less for TV rights and stuff? And then it opens up a whole new conversation that if clubs are playing players less, why shouldn't clubs then actually earn less through sponsorship, TV deals, etc.? Because, you know, their outlay is now significantly less than it would have been without the salary cap.
But I would maybe argue that a lot of that money should be going to community projects.
It should be anyway. But that, I mean, there could easily be a scheme set up that says, look, 10% of this money is not even in the conversation. It's going straight down there.
And I would even say that due to the money that, as you rightly say, that clubs get, and now that they're paying less salary, the tickets should be really low for fans.
So I agree with that. As a thing,
it would be a salary cap and a ticket cap as well. So that way, because clubs, like you said, they not only do they get TV rights, they get sponsor deals and they get all this other stuff. And I think as a fan, we saw it with the Super League. We're becoming more and more ostracized by the clubs that we support.
So you think players earn too much, but you would like Arsenal to go and spend 70 million on James Maddison?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a juxtaposition, but what I'm saying is my ideal world doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So whilst it doesn't exist, I want my club to be competitive.
Yeah.
That's the only juxtaposition here. Which, you know, I don't live in an ideal world where Arsenal can pay a fair wage and also get players.
Liverpool, they've got a fair wage system, don't you? You don't massively overpay players. And I know you said sometimes you have to, but you don't always have to.
I mean, Liverpool have altered their structure from
how it was previously.
I was reading.
Slightly, but it's not like where you might go to City and if Kane signed him, but you might get like 400k, which is ridiculous. And our star players would be on half that, 200k, and that's the cap. That might have to change in future because there are clubs out there who are willing to offer double. And it's like, why would you come to Liverpool on 200k a week when City or Chelsea are offering you 350k a week?
And see, I agree with you.
Yeah, I do agree with that as well.
I live in a realistic world where when we did have a salary cap at Arsenal, we weren't bringing anyone in.
Yeah.
And we declined. Season after season, we declined. We weren't going to sign Ozil or Sanchez if we didn't alter our cap. And we did, and we kept one of them, rightly or wrongly. Then after came Aubameyang and so on and so forth. So ideally, salary cap. But I don't live in that world. Yeah. So I want Arsenal to be competitive.
But is there then a case to say, you know, these players are on ridiculous 300k a week, let's say, 1.2 million a month.
That's a lot of money.
And they're taking... You got to then remember that actually about 40% of that
It's taxed.
Is taxed.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
So
about
is there an argument to say that we're attracting very, very talented footballers to come to this country, paying them a lot of money, but actually that they're now in England paying taxes that they wouldn't have been paying if we didn't offer those wages?
Fair point.
I hear what you're saying. Does anyone have Boris's number? No. All right, so next question is, we talked about transfer slightly in there, so let's bring it full on to transfers. Player agents, do you think we should get rid of the player agent fee or cap it? Because some player agents earn a lot of money and hold clubs to ransom.
How much can agent fees go up to?
It's unlimited.
Whatever you...
Whatever clubs are willing to pay.
Whatever. So like Mino Raiola, for example, the big boss of football agent, this guy has probably made over 100 million in transfer fees. I'm just guessing over the course of his career.
Yeah.
And then that's
and
not
he's
even...
he's got loads of clients.
He's got tons of clients. So, for example, if Paul Pogba leaves United this summer, this guy will probably...
that guy, okay.
This guy will probably pocket like 6-7 mil from that.
Yep.
Easy. I want to be a football agent.
Because it's basically you're brokering a deal. It's almost like... what's that thing that people get who, like, if you sell something...
Oh, commission.
Commission. It's basically commission. Because you're brokering a deal between a club and another club. But it's basically you go into them like, oh, I could get you Paul Pogba. Are you interested?
But your question is, should we get rid of it? Because it does kind of increase...
Because I
if you didn't have that to worry about, yeah, it's an additional cost, isn't it?
Because you know, like, some of the fees that you see, it's like, oh, 45 plus 5 million or whatever. Sometimes that 5 million...
There's all these weird fees with transfers, yeah, isn't there?
Like, a part of that 50 million, for example, for Romero, will be agent fees. So a player, potentially, that's coming for, like, 45 million, whatever, it could have been actually 4 million. 40 million. 40 million. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. Yeah, so scrap it still.
like, I get it. Agents will earn, but I think it should be the player who pays the agent because you got me that move, not the club who plays the agent.
Yeah. Well,
the player probably pays fees. Like,
yeah, I mean, sure, but for a club to be held ransom, like, oh, he's my player. I'm sorry. I don't get where agents get off saying this is my player. If a club wants to buy the player from a different club, he should be able to buy the player without the agent going, no, he's not going.
Unless you know, players sign to an agency that says you can't move without our blessing, or they've got to be something written into these contracts, because agents have... this is like whataboutery, by the way, like I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But
I like that.
This is... we don't know what is written into those contracts when players sign up with agents, but... That's true. You're right in saying agents have a lot of power in the modern football.
Too much.
But then again, it's like, as with any avenue in life, I think if you work hard to get yourself somewhere, you reap your rewards. And there was nothing stopping any of us 5 or 10 years ago saying, I want to be a football agent.
I'm putting in the work now
to make that happen. No, but I'm just... It's easy for us to say agents should have less power in the game and should be like shouldn't be a thing and this and that, but they are. They're here, they're around. It seems like they're really within the cogs of football, and they make their money. They make their money by doing it. And it's like,
don't know what they're doing. Shout out Charlie Kane.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He was probably brought into this world by having a brother who's a very, very successful footballer. Probably wouldn't have entered that world without Harry Kane becoming who he is.
And probably Harry Kane only hired him to bless his brother.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, literally that. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think about the money that agents make and whether it's fair when you look at life? Because let's be honest, that's what we're comparing it to, you know. When you look at big footballers who earn these big wages, and then you look at agents who make 4 or 5 million commission off a deal, and you think, hold on, that's too easy.
It's true, you know. But
is it too easy? We haven't seen that journey. We haven't seen the journey that each individual has gone through.
When the player is comfy at a club, what are they doing? And that's a genuine question.
No, well, each agent would have like, they'd have like a portfolio of players.
Yeah, they'd have
like
a bunch
of clients. So they usually have more than one.
Yeah.
But There is work. It is work.
Yeah, we're not saying
so
that.
So basically what an agent does is he will, for example, he will look after a player.
But what does that mean?
Whatever the player, whatever a specific player's needs is, that agent will look after.
What, emotional support?
It might be emotional support.
Okay.
But it'll be like, it's like you having a manager.
Okay, so it's kind of
so
like
it's
that.
You saying like, I want to, so for example, yeah, you're currently Twitter famous.
Well, allegedly.
It's you going to your manager saying, now I want some brand deals. And your manager will go out and try and secure those brand deals for you.
Okay.
So they're doing the work that you're going to pay them to do that work.
Okay.
So then they secure, let's say they go to Adidas and, for example, they get you a brand deal with Adidas. And they'll say, Tans, we got this deal for you.
Oh, don't, you're going to get me dreaming now.
But you'll earn from Adidas and you have to pay them. Sometimes they do it like a percentage deal. So whatever you get is a percentage on top of that. But it might be, for example, if we bring it back to football, a player says, I want to change my boots deal. I want to go on to Nike.
Okay.
I'm on Adidas right now. I want to go on to Nike. So that agent will go and get that done.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Another player might go, I'm not happy at my club. I'm not playing. I want to play. Or another player might go, I want to go to a bigger club.
Oh, okay. So they are busybodies then.
Yeah, they are. And so like, let's just, a really good championship player, just think of whoever you want to think of, says to his agent, I'm ready for that step up.
Pereira,
for example. But I mean, he's just really proven himself in the Prem anyway. But let's say like, look, I want to make that move now. I'm ready for a higher quality football, higher quality teammates, manager, bigger stadium, bigger wages. And you know, that agent will go and sound out 20 different clubs and then come back and say, look, these 8 clubs have got a concrete interest in you. Mm-hmm. You know, these 6 have got a bit of an interest, but they're, you know, they don't have the funds at the moment. And then it's kind of laying out all the options on the table and then following through with that player might then say, you know what? I like these 3 clubs.
Yeah. Oh, this sounds fun.
Go and have a chat with...
It's a lot of business deals because then they have to look at contracts. They have to look at the
you know
nitty
what?
And gritty of it, of the detail, and then get the best deal because they say some of the best agents are the ones who get their player who might not be at that level to a
good club. Do you know what?
It'll
be really interesting to get an insight into the life of a football agent.
So we'll talk about that later.
Okay. Because I find it very interesting because I'm always thinking, now, how do you actually get into it? Do you need to be... Because I assume, like, what if you've not been one before? Like, how do you actually get into it? Is there, like, any particular qualifications that you need or...
I think there's loads of different ways to get into it. I don't think you need a qualification per se, but I think one of the ways
Look
to get...
Look at me, I'm thinking, you know, I'm like, oh!
One of the ways to get into it is who you know. So there are...
Connections.
Yeah, are a lot of people who are blessed with connections. So, for example, if Mark is my friend and he knows I have a connection with, let's say, 4 or 5 clubs, he'll be like, bro, I'll pay you to try and get me into one of those clubs.
Or
and
you
I'll
literally have a brother who's a footballer or a family member that
So that's another avenue. Another avenue is that, yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah, so it's a really interesting conversation that we could probably learn a lot from by speaking to someone in that world, because there's probably a lot of things that go on that we are not aware of.
Do not know the
a lot of ins and outs of transfers that we have no idea, because we're fans on the outside and we see that a fee was paid, that the contract had to be signed, that a player wanted these kinds of, you know, conditions, that there were add-ons by the club, that maybe a compensation fee had to be paid to their former club and all this and that.
Crazy.
But I imagine there's a lot of madness that goes on.
Yeah.
Because that's why the transfer window is so crazy. That's why there are so many rumours, because agents also put out rumours.
Yeah.
They'll be like...
They meddle as well. That's the only thing.
Yeah, so you've experienced it firsthand with Charlie Kane.
Do not mention his name. Charlie Lane. Okay.
But let's talk about John Doe. John Doe is a football agent, and he wants to get his client to Man City. But the club won't let him. like John Doe's his client's current club. So he might put something out in the news saying that, you know, so and so club has offered, and then there's unrest, and then the club is like, no, but you know, it just moves a lot of things.
A lot of stories that you see on social media from the likes of Fabrizio, forgotten his second name,
Romano.
and the like, you know, like quite reliable people. Most of that news probably comes from agent leaks. And it's because they're trying to, you know.
So why don't these agents just make Twitter accounts then? I suppose they can't.
Because that's not perfect. That's not. Yeah. You've got to hold. You've got to uphold a certain kind of professional.
It's almost like it's a bluff. To leak something is a bluff. It's a massive game of poker. That's what they're doing.
Mad.
So I'm gonna put this news out there to see how they react.
Sounds fun. Like I said,
I don't know about fun. It sounds stressful.
Yeah, it must be stressful, especially if you've got loads of clients. But
I mean, as Mark said, Mino, what's his name? Mino Raiola. He's living.
He's balling out.
He has like 10 average clients. Like all of his clients, pretty much all of them, are superstars or in the making.
Wow.
Or just big players.
Basically.
He's probably the when you think of football agents, he's the one you think of.
He's the Don.
Big him up every time.
No, do not.
No.
He's actually a waste man.
There are a lot of clubs out there that really dislike him.
Oh, okay. Don't take that back.
Mino Raiola has threatened Man United and said that once Pogba leaves, none of his clients will ever
join Man United. Wow. Are you serious? Oh, yeah, write that.
And do you know who one of his clients are?
Haaland, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, but they think they're getting Haaland because I saw something today. Well, Man United fans.
No, Mino Raiola has said once
they
Paul Pogba leaves.
If Lukaku's going to Chelsea, they think, right, and Kane potentially to City, Haaland, there's a door open for him at United.
I don't know. They have to deal with Mino Raiola.
Damn, okay. That's a spanner in the works.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Football deals are stressful.
Wow.
It's not as easy as, like, as you would say, like, leave, you should pay the money. There's so much that goes
with him.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, I have a quiz for you guys.
Oh, God, we love a quiz.
Well, it's not really a quiz. It's just more of a, like, who am I?
All right.
Okay, all right. Guess who?
Well, one each or, you're putting us up against
each
other?
Can we just play together, please?
Yeah, we'll
Cool. She asked so politely.
Oh, no. Can we play together?
So what I'll do is I'll name three players to start with, and then you guys have a brainstorm, and then there are two more players, and then just see how you go.
Okay.
Three players that this mystery player has played with. Are you going to give us where they...
No. Right. Not at first. If you're really struggling, I'll throw in a couple of clubs.
Okay.
So we'll start with Ross Barkley.
God, okay.
Cool. So you got Chelsea,
so he was
Everton.
Mm-hmm. Where else was he? I don't know.
He was just on loan.
Oh, yeah, Villa.
Villa, cool.
And he also played for his nation.
England. Oh, England. Okay, all right. Thanks for giving us the clue, Junior.
That's it. I'm shutting up now. Dries Mertens.
Wait, what? Is that a player?
Dries Mertens. Yeah. Hold on. So that's Napoli and Italy. No. Can't think of where he was at before.
Okay. David Luiz.
Okay, so is that the one right at up. Arsenal?
You can't be naming players who play for like nine clubs.
David Luiz.
David
Luiz.
Chelsea.
Yeah, yeah. David Luiz, Chelsea,
yeah.
Arsenal.
I didn't think he was there when Luiz was there.
PSG.
Oh, wait, we're talking about the player, not Ross Barkley.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you the answer straight off the bat.
Well, right, so they're the first three players. Yeah,
okay, they're the first three players.
Ross Barkley, David Luiz, and that other guy that I don't know. So
Dries Mertens, yeah.
Is it?
I would not have
Jorginho.
Ooh.
That's a good guess, but no.
Because I'm just thinking Chelsea, Italy at this point.
Okay.
I've got the Mertens with Italy.
Okay.
And then Luiz Barkley.
Can I just throw a span in your words?
Yeah, yeah.
Dries Mertens is not Italian.
Oh, he's Belgian. All right.
Oh, okay.
He's Belgian. Yeah. Of course he is. I'm thinking of Insigne.
Yeah.
So anyway, Napoli still stands.
Is this someone that is currently still in the Premier League? You allowed to tell us that or no?
No.
Because there's still one more player. There's still one more player I haven't given you.
Oh, is it Lukaku? You said you were giving us five.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it Lukaku?
It is Lukaku.
Yay!
Is it?
Yes. From Everton. From yeah. Belgium.
So the last player was David De Gea, but I thought that was too bait.
De Gea. Oh, United.
That's yeah. why I asked. I was like,
oh, wait. Yeah, yeah. There was two more players.
Yeah,
oh, you
was.
Got it in three.
Yes.
Oh, you smashed it. Okay, there's time for one more then.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Let's
this
go.
One, this one's a bit harder.
Cool.
This one's a bit harder. But it seems like I needed to up the level a bit because you guys got that really quickly.
Wow.
So same rules apply. Three players and then two more. Okay. So Owen Hargreaves.
Okay, God, I don't like him. You're he's going the one that says
well, you're going back into a different era now, yeah?
Yeah, this is a different era.
Cool, you're moving okay. mad. United and Bayern Munich, I can okay. think of, and England.
Okay. Mauro Icardi.
Okay.
Inter PSG Argentina.
Oh, okay, Mark, this is all you.
No, I'm just how we're getting a flavour of... Okay.
And just to throw a spanner in the works, Andreas Iniesta.
Okay.
Barca, Spain. So is this player is someone who's
they're
playing for Barcelona or Spain. Guaranteed.
Okay, so they're a big player then.
Guaranteed, because Iniesta, Barca, born and bred. So it was Icardi.
Iniesta.
And Owen Hargreaves.
Owen Hargreaves.
You're moving mad. Why Owen
What's
Hargreaves?
What's the other players then? Did you say you're going to give us more players?
Yeah, two more. But only
Wait, hold on.
It.
Let's just try and connect some dots.
You guessed him three last time.
I ain't got a clue.
I think, right, it's either a Spanish player... Who's played for... I don't even know. No, I can think of one Spanish player who played for Bayern, so I'm just going to say it, but they weren't there together at the same time.
Who?
Javi Martinez.
It's not Javi Martinez.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay,
I'll
give you one more player. Sami Khedira.
Yeah, that's
German. Mm-hmm. Juventus. Wow. All right, this just got even more complicated.
I like how Mark's brain works. Well, I can just see the gears moving.
This isn't my era, so.
Cool. So we got Hargreaves, we got Icardi, we got Iniesta. All right, give us the fifth one.
Olivier Giroud.
Olivier Giroud to Chelsea Arsenal.
Surely you can't be including Milan in the Giroud one, right?
No. Because yeah, he's just signed for them, right? Okay,
that would be crazy.
That would just be, yeah, that would.
Iniesta.
This is guaranteed someone who's played for Barca or Spain, because Iniesta's only played for those two clubs. No, Iniesta's played in Japan. If you're giving us a Don from the Japanese league, we will actually swing live on there.
Oh, is it? No, but the
I kept wanting to say.
Can I just have it yet? Has he played in the J League, this player that you're talking about?
Yes.
Oh, he actually has. No, we're going to swing. Stand up now.
Right, you get out. We're sending you out.
This is my house.
All right, we're sending you out on loan.
So this the person in question played with Iniesta, not at Barca or with Spain, but in the J League.
Yes, I can give you that. And that's it. I'm not giving you anything else because that's a massive clue to this person.
And I know them.
And the rest of the players again. So you got Icardi.
Icardi.
You got
Giroud. That's the Giroud. One that's throwing me.
Khedira and Hargreaves.
No, who's you the are bugging one? Up.
Yeah, you're bugging out. He's bugging out.
J League. So who's played in the J League?
Oh.
You're going to have to give us another little steer.
Don't look at us like that. Like, you should know this. Don't do that.
No, I didn't say you should know this.
Oh, okay.
It is difficult. The player played with one of the four left for their nation. Like, so out of the four people left, so he played for their nation.
Khedira, French. Germany. Icardi, Argentina.
Yeah, Giroud's
Giroud,
French.
French, and Hargreaves, England.
Yeah. Oh, he's not English. It could be.
Any English players done the J League? Listen, Hargreaves is out here
forget
in like
about the J League.
Hargreaves is like no, but you say he definitely played in the J League. This player,
yeah,
J League, and then internationally with
Hargreaves
Argentina,
is late 2000s.
England,
if that's what you were,
Germany and
France.
Oh, do you know what? I don't know.
I can't lie. I'm spun.
Okay, do you give up?
No. Okay. Not giving up, Randy. I want another clue.
Oh man,
come on!
The listeners are probably screaming. the name right now.
How do I make this less bait?
Listen, I said it last week. We are in the off season, and
this is our pre-season.
So are the brains.
Yeah, this is our pre-season.
I'm leaving it to Mark. I got one already, so.
I don't know how to make this not bait. Okay, he played with Icardi at Inter. That's the last clue I'm giving you. So he's not Argentinian.
Cool, so he's not Argentinian.
So he's French.
French, English, or German, and played in the Japanese league with Iniesta, which was quite recent.
Japanese league.
But you're looking at me like that, like I know the J League off like the back of my hand.
No, I'm agreeing with you. Like I'm you're cool. On the right track.
All right, so recent J League, as in now or past couple of years. Played with Icardi at Inter, and then played for either France, Germany, or England. Can't think of the last English player who played for England other than Ashley Young. Played for Inter other than Ashley Young.
Oh, yes.
So I'm going to rule out England, the nationality. Am I right to do that?
Okay, this is the last clue I'm giving you. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. So he's German or French.
That's it. I'm not helping anymore.
German or French.
Mark is rattled.
Can I ask you a question? Is he playing at the Olympics right now?
I can't give you any more clues.
Is it Gignac?
No, it's not Gignac. Oh. That's a good guess.
Yeah.
That is a good guess.
He's in Mexico. Yeah. He's in Mexico.
I like where your brain went.
I bet Abdi's listening right now. Yeah, he's like,
I cannot get it, guys.
Yeah, it's so easy.
You're so dumb, man.
Abdi, stay home next week, yeah?
Don't come back, man. It's been a good pod.
I feel like we put people through some pain here.
All right, shall I just...
Yeah.
All right, so... I've played with Owen Hargreaves at Bayern Munich. I've played with Mauro Icardi at Inter. I've played with Andreas Iniesta at Vissel Kobe or whatever the name is. I've played with Sami Khedira for Germany. And I've played with Olivier Giroud at Arsenal. Lucas
Podolski.
Podolski!
Why did I not get Podolski, man? Yeah. Do you know what the worst thing is? I know Abdi knew that.
Yeah.
Abdi. Can't say anything.
All right, well, that wraps us up.
Podolski, man. How did my mind just not go there?
Nah, don't worry, man.
That wraps up. I can't even say it. We're done.
We're done.
In the words of Abdi, I end this, man.
In the shambles.
Now, thanks for listening. Subscribe where you need to subscribe. Follow where you need to follow. We'll be back next week with another exciting episode of We'll Talk About That Later. Peace.
Boom.
Woo!
Sports Social Podcast Network.